The state this year appropriated $500,000 to draft the long-term plan for Southeast. A similar document has already been completed for communities in the Rail Belt. Joe Balash, a special assistant to the governor on resource and energy issues, told the audience at Southeast Conference's annual meeting in Petersburg this month that the plan will look at which projects need to be developed, where, and when.
As decision makers move forward here and make investment decisions, they really need to understand where they're going to get the best bang for their buck. And that's true whether you're talking about a privately owned corporation like AELNP that needs to look out for its shareholders' funds, or whether you're talking about the use of public dollars from the state treasury.
AELNP is Alaska Electric Light and Power, the capital city's private power utility. It's also an example of a utility that has added a new power plant nearly a year ago with the completion of the Lake Dorothy hydropower plant. Other new hydro plants have come online in the past year near Gustavus and Skagway. The integrated resource plan will look at other power plant needs and potential, as well as possibilities for connecting the electrical systems of the panhandle. Southeast Conference's energy coordinator Robert Venables said the plan would update past studies of the Southeast Electrical Intertie. That's a proposed grid of transmission lines linking the communities of Southeast.
What we've seen in recent years through cost construction, inflation, and other issues, that some of these segments are not going to be economically feasible, even though they're technically feasible. So we need to really take a fresh look at each of those legs and update this plan and kind of see what needs to happen as far as the regional aspect and sub-regional.
Transmission lines already connect Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg. A future segment will connect Cake to that line as well, and another line will link Metlakatla to Ketchikan. There's also a system of power lines connecting most Prince of Wales Island communities. The private company Alaska Power and Telephone is expanding that system, with extensions underway to Kaufman Cove and Naugatie on northern Prince of Wales. Companies and communities around the region are also working to add a new power generation or expand existing plants. Barbara Stanley, the Forest Service's energy coordinator, said the Tongass has seen an explosion in the number of new energy project proposals over the last few years. Stanley said her agency is monitoring 26 proposed projects that are either on national forest lands or have the potential to affect Tongass lands. Stanley's job is relatively new. She's been in that position for 10 months, and she said it was created to keep up with the number of new project proposals.
It quickly became apparent to me that most of the energy development planning that had gone on in the region had little to no Forest Service involvement or input. We really do want to change that. The Forest Service is ready to collaborate and to partner with Southeast Conference and other groups on energy development issues in Southeast.
Stanley said her agency wants to encourage hydropower production when it is compatible with national forest purposes. The Forest Service issues permits for long-term operation of power plants on forest land, as well as permitting for transmission lines that cross national forest land. Proposed projects on the Tongass range from the smaller scale, so-called run-of-the-river hydro plants like Thayer Lake in Angoon, or the Gartina and Water Supply Creek project in Hoona. Those plants are expected to provide only a portion of the needed power for those communities. On the other end of the spectrum are large mountain lake hydro proposals. The public and private sectors have proposed several for Thomas Bay north of Petersburg as an example. Sitka Republican State Senator Bert Stedman, co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, said the region-wide planning effort would help with decisions on the larger, more expensive projects under consideration.
We don't need the integrated resource study to do what is obviously needed right in front of us. As an example, in Sitka, we don't need the integrated resource study to tell us that we need to raise Blue Lake Dam 83 feet. We don't need it in Ketchikan to tell us that we need to deal with Whitman Lake. But what we do need it for is when we go to build bigger hydros. And as an example, I'll just pick on one, and there's several in the region. There's 120 megawatts sitting over here in Thomas Bay.
Whitman Lake will add power generating capacity at a new plant near Ketchikan, while the expansion of the Blue Lake Dam will boost Sitka's generating capacity. Stedman said he also wanted the study to look at potential at Tecats Lake, Sitka's proposed project on eastern Baranof Island, And he wanted to consider the options for transmission lines extending outside of the region for future export of energy. A contractor for the Alaska Energy Authority will be completing the Integrated Resource Plan over the next 18 months to 2 years. The process will include a series of stakeholder meetings around Southeast to gather public input for the plan. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.